It has been said that more things are caught than are taught when it comes to raising our kids. The world's biggest small group Mom to Mom study series delves into the profound journey of motherhood through the lens of Jochebed, the remarkable mother of Moses. In today's episode, our study creator, Kim Weir, engages in an insightful conversation with four women, each navigating distinct phases of motherhood. Tune in now to part two of this enriching discussion.
One of the things I love about this study and Jochebed, Moses' mother, her son makes a devastating choice. He becomes a murderer. You know, she was a good mom. Was she a perfect mom? No. And yet, you know, bad things happen in their lives. But there were things that later in his life, we look and go, where did he learn that? He caught that from his mom. And so I think maybe this is a good chance for us to ask that question as we talk about the best thing you could do for your child, you said, is let them see you living your life.
Yeah.
Because more lessons are caught than taught. Mm-hmm. That's just a reality. If you think about your own life, right? The things that we see modeled, the things that inspire us, those are the things we catch and want to emulate. And so when you think about your momming, I mean, I think we're all intentional. My kids are all like, so please don't give me another sermon. It's not a sermon.
Yes.
It's a sermonette. But, you know, so there's a balance of course, you want to overtly teach them things, but we also want them to catch things.
I have a multicultural marriage. When you were talking about earlier about all of these different things coming together, it's two completely different worlds coming together when you get married anyway.
Yeah.
When you have two different cultures in two different worlds coming together, it's eye-opening still to this day. Because every stage of life with your kids is a new stage of life, right? Mm-hmm. And so you know how you think, I really feel like this is the way it should go. And your husband's going to have a different opinion. And it's going to probably come from something in his background that made him think this. So hopefully your communication is real good there with your teammate, so that you can connect before making decisions. And we're still learning that. We've been married 20 years and still learning that, you know? Apparently, we will until we die. always things to look forward to.
Newsflash.
But I think communication and making sure that you both have a game plan, because I think my kids are going to hopefully take away from now, it's a package deal, mm-hmm. me and dad. So away from momming, I would love to specifically say yes, this, but I think hopefully they will walk away with balance mm-hmm. because I am a very dramatic human being. I am a leap.
It's what we love about you.
Make sure that there's water in the pool. I don't care. I will jump and I will go in. And my husband is the one, I mean, like on our first date, I knew we were getting married. I knew. And Sammy, let's
take it a little slower.
a lot slower. You know, he's the one who methodically knows what to do. And I think both kids are going to see also from culture, and I don't want to speak over because he's a Mexican American. I don't want to speak for all Mexican Americans because I know just like with anybody else, it's different. But it's all about family. And family is almost neck and neck with faith in God in the way that some folks are raised. Now, my husband's family, gratefully, very much Christ first. But it's like, I've just seen my husband pour over these last several months, my oldest son, who's about to make this giant leap in his life.
Yeah.
And it's so focused. And I'm not that, I can't, it would break me to be as focused. And so they go to either parent with whatever thing they need. And hopefully they'll be able to glean the best
from
both.
Well, you know, it's so interesting too, though, because just as you describe these differences between you and your husband, I mean, those are the kind of differences that can exist between us and our kids.
It's true, yeah.
You know, you don't generally always get a kid that's just like you, which would be awesome. But then of course you do this,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you get the kid that's very opposite you. And so there's so much that you can pour into them, even at the same time you're learning from them. So I love that idea of balance. Something else you want your kids to catch, Raina?
I know for me, what I caught from my mom, who when I was born, she was deep into a drug and alcohol addiction.
Oh, wow.
I mean, she has a testimony. And when I look back on my childhood, there was a lot of chaos. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of yelling. And I remember sharing a story one time, and I felt so bad because I didn't ask her before I shared it. And I said, Mom, if I ever share something about, you know, that puts you in a bad light, I am so sorry. And if you never want me to talk about it, I won't. And she looked at me and she said, Raina, share it because it's for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And so what I learned from my mom in watching her life and everything she walked through, even though there was a lot of unpretty things, was that she ran to the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that my kids watch me in the dark seasons that I walk through, run to the feet of Jesus more than anything. But on a practical level, I remember growing up, and not just in my household, but even at my grandmother's house, when a kid would spill something, like a glass of milk or something, I mean, it was a big deal. Like, oh my God, oh, you're clumsy. It was like, really traumatic,
yes,
really.
Yes.
And now when my kids drop a glass of milk, it's all right, baby.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Calm.
We got,
it's
yeah, it's calm. And so I hope that when they have children, it's just milk.
I love that. Setting the expectation that failures happen.
Yeah.
Mistakes happen. Things happen. And it's not a judgment on who we are. What a thing to let your family catch, because that is not a common thing. You know, this whole idea of, you know, cultural expectations, that kind of thing, pressure we put on ourselves to be able to see somebody say, no big deal. You know, it says it's not you. It's just something that happened.
I think one of the things that I've noticed in my life is that people who are willing to take responsibility for their actions go farther in life, whether it is at work or in relationships, anything like that. And so we're really working with our kids. It is still a work in progress, but I hope they're seeing it modeled that my husband and I both are the kind of people who will apologize. Yes. My husband's always first to apologize for something. Yes. So I've learned
that's
that from
annoying.
Him. But he doesn't do it to be like,
right.
You know.
Right.
Like,
that's even more annoying. He's sincere.
He's got a really good heart, you guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I hope that something my kids see is that we are both willing to, if I mess up, I'm going to tell them, look, I messed up.
Right.
Yeah. Because I, you know, sometimes, especially in little kids, they get that sort of victim mentality of, well, it's not my fault because she did this or he did that. And well, I know I was fighting at school, but it's because so-and-so, and I don't want to hear it. Like, I want you to take responsibility for your actions because you can never control what other people are going to do, whether you are in the fifth grade or you are 50 years old. You can't control what the people around you are going to do or how life is going to go, but you can control how you will react to that.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the thing that I'm really hoping that my kids will pick up on is that sometimes bad things are going to happen. You know, their dad and I have both been through some hard stuff, but we've come out better on the other side. And you can't just like lay down and let it overtake you. You've got to fight back.
Yeah. You know? That's one of my pet peeves is the whole victim mentality.
Yeah, me
so,
too.
Girl, you're now my favorite person.
And it's so hard because it's a pet peeve. I'm like, that's a victim mentality, you know?
My husband's I'm like, judging those people.
It's driving me crazy too, but don't, he's 10, 11. Don't, you know, take it easy on him.
But we live in a victim culture now too. So it's just amplified. I mean, when you see all the things that are happening, I don't want to highlight one thing, but I will, you know, on college campuses, in all of its various forms around the country, what you see is an entire generation of kids who don't want to be responsible for anything and everything is happening to them. And so there's this, I look at my own generation of parenting and realize some of the big mistakes we made of, you know, everybody gets a participation trophy and, you know, that wasn't failure. And, you know, this, all the ways we reframe what life really is. And it has consequences, not just for the child, but as the adult when they get there. So I love that.
For myself, I model running at Clear Lake City Elementary in fifth grade, and I was running a race and all my friends were like, I can't believe you're running this race. And my mom was at the finish line yelling louder than any parent, Taylor, you can do this. Come on, run to me. And so I have instilled in my children that Jesus is at the end of the race. And no matter what obstacle, no matter what they've done, that we're survivors. And with Jesus saying, come on, run to me. You got this. Get yourself up. Let's do this. That's probably the one thing. It's funny because I keep talking about this counseling session, but the counselor said, Waverly, are you a believer? And she said, yeah. And she said, now, are you a believer only because your mom's a Christian radio personality? And Waverly said, no, I'm a believer because with everything we've been through, I've seen God do miracles in our lives. Mm. And so I hope I have instilled that faith-based of God can get you through anything, no matter what you've been through. Mm-hmm. But also, y'all, I am a crazy, funny person that nobody here knows. And my house is full of laughter constantly, even in serious, hard situations. I've taught my kids to laugh. Yeah. And I hope that they carry that throughout their life. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a house usually full of a lot of kids and we're laughing and having fun and cutting up. And so I love to laugh. And that's the one thing that I hope, faith and laughter is instilled in my children.
God's word says he has given us everything we need in this life for enjoyment. Yeah. I mean, we expect it to say everything we need for holiness. And he does say that, but we don't expect it to say God's given us everything we need in this life for enjoyment. And to be able to pass that on to your kids, that Christians don't have to be sour and serious and or even when the hard things come, that there's still enjoyment and joy that can be found in that. Yeah. What a gift that you're passing on to them. I love that.
You're making me think, though, of the things that you can pass on where you're not even aware that they're catching. And I remember—
Good and bad.
I remember an episode of television where they were talking about how women, when we discriminate against ourselves while looking at our reflection— we'll tell our babies, you're beautiful, everything, you look so pretty today. All they remember is how mom looked at herself in the mirror and what mom said about herself. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've always tried to never say in front of my children, like just never talk about it, you know, because I don't want to, I know they're both boys. But even in today's world,
you're shaping their image of what female healthy self-image looks like.
But you want to make sure that you're saying that, and not just for your own better. I mean, obviously, it's for your own health. If I start to say those things about myself, then I start carrying that stuff around with me. Mm-hmm. I don't want that negativity. I don't want to look at myself like that. I'm trying to see myself the way Jesus sees me, as my husband describes, as my friends say. Or if I'm not feeling it that day, I just won't say things in front of my children.
Yeah.
At least. And that was really a big eye opener for me because I never really thought about it that way. My mother only loved me, only loved me. But even she and I've had a conversation lately where looking back on it's like, oh my word. Cause I know that she was, you know, look in the mirror. I mean, we all do it. There ain't one woman on the planet that looks in the mirror and says, today, God did good. It's just, we all are going to have something. But I don't know. I felt that's a strong thing. If I can ever share that with people, we would never, ever tell our children.
Our words have power.
We say to ourselves.
They have power.
I agree.
Yeah. Right? How many times do we say, oh gosh, I can't have that. I just need to lose 10 pounds. Or I'll be, all the little messages we say just flippantly off. But all that's caught. And it's not, it isn't, to your point, it isn't just caught by our girls. It's caught by our boys as well. And helping them shape a healthy image of women in a culture that it feels like you know, ricocheting back to devaluing women in so many ways that we have such a powerful role to play in the life of our son. One of the things obviously that I hope most will be caught is our faith, our trust in Jesus, not just, just that I go to church. So often, wouldn't that be the easy way? I just take them to church and they're going to catch everything they need faith-wise. And yet that actually can ricochet if that's all they do. And it's not in any way reflected in life at home. That is actually can be damaging. Mm. So when you think about the idea of passing your faith values, helping demonstrate an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, both teaching and catching. What are some things that you've experienced either with success or less success than you had hoped in your homes? What does that look like for you, Morgan?
One of the things for us is a couple of years ago when my son was third grade-ish, we went through a little bit of church trauma in our family. And it was difficult for us because it involved our community at large and there were a lot of changes that had to come. But he was of the age where we could be totally transparent with him to an age appropriate level about why we were making some changes and what was happening. and why we weren't just not going to church anymore, but moving to a different church. And I think for us, it was this opportunity to talk about why this is important to us and, you know, to not like throw the baby out with the bathwater, mm-hmm. because sometimes difficult things are going to happen and it's not the fault. It's not God's fault that some people
are jerks.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kim said it not.
Kim just said it.
I'll say it. I'm a jerk sometimes and I try not to be.
But it's, you know, it's hard because there are people that like you respect, you care for, who make decisions that you don't agree with. And it's painful sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he, my son, my daughter was too little to get it, but my son really handled it so well. And I have seen him really grow leaps and bounds mm-hmm. since then. I think partially because we were able to be so transparent and to really talk about what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I have a lot of wins in my life, but I think the way we handled that is definitely one of our parenting wins.
Yeah. Over sheltering our kids can actually backfire big time.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm so thankful that because even if we don't see the stresses of that while they're under our roof, when they get out and the world offers them every worldview, mm-hmm. every option available, those stress cracks that weren't resolved, that weren't talked about, that were not authentic, mm-hmm. those things are going to become fissures mm-hmm. out in the world to where everything else can then come in. So, you know, to have those hard things and let them be exposed to them while you're there to be the safety net.
Was also an opportunity for us to look at these the people in our lives and recognize very, very intentionally, yes, we have differences with these people, but we're still friends with them. They're still in our lives, which my mom really mirrored for me when I was a kid. My mother has always had room in her life for anybody. She's never been like, oh, you were a bad friend to me that one time. Get out of here. There were a few people in her life that relied on her more than friends usually do. And my mom always had room for those people and she would never turn somebody away. And I think I hope that my kids are seeing that too, you know, where we're able to, even though we have differences with these people, they're still our friends and we still love them, you know?
There's just no topic that our kids can't learn something valuable. Something else about how you're passing your faith to be caught in your
I always have things to say. Raina, you can talk.
So, we'll go with Raina and then we'll come back to your show.
Practical things, you know, making sure we're in church. You know, we have the Bible in the kitchen and sometimes we open the word and we read together. But I think the most valuable thing that I can do for my children is what has been done for me by other people in my life is just living my faith out. God called me to prison ministry a few years ago and I was terrified, terrified, not something I ever saw for myself. And I let my kids know I was very vulnerable. I'm doing this because I feel like God led me to do it and it's been successful. So just walking this life out, this adventure out with Jesus and letting them have a front row seat, I think is the best thing that I can do for them.
I love that.
You know, I have to say my family is very dysfunctional, okay? And I love my mom and dad. They did the best that they could do. They got married very young, but we are very dysfunctional. But one thing that my kids have seen my family do so well, and I'm so proud of them, is they have seen my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister embrace their father every single time they see him. They hug him. They love him. They've welcomed him. My son graduated high school last year. Their dad showed up by himself. My entire family said, sit with us.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I can't say that for the other side. Mm-hmm. So my kids are seeing one side show forgiveness and the other side not so much. Mm. And so I am so proud that my kids have seen, especially my mom is one of the most forgiving people. Like Morgan talking about her mom. My mom has been through literally a 60-minute episode in her life. And I'm not able, I hope one day I can tell it. And my mom, I grew up never knowing the story, but the people that are involved in the story were always part of our lives. And I was like, Mom, how did you forgive them? Like, how did you let them around us? And she said, because God's told me I had to. Wow. And so I think that is one thing for sure is like loving our enemies. So hard to do, but my kids have seen my family walk through that well.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. Powerful lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the kind of thing you reading it on paper and seeing it demonstrated in life.
Yeah.
two completely different things.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Two completely different. Rochelle, okay. Girl, I want to hear.
I loved everything you guys shared too, by the way. It's just, it's so good to talk about this. Being open to your children, sharing. There is this craze right now of oversharing on social media. Some things need to stay private. But however, I have told my children, there's never anything you can't come to me and talk to me about. Because I will tell them about when mommy was going through difficult times as a child, after having borne you, the difficult times that, you know, the difficult times of trying to figure out you have autism and mommy messed up and I had to apologize. Mm-hmm. I've messed up, you know? It's interesting. My mom and my dad's relationship is one of those. A 60 minutes episode.
Yeah.
We are showing our age by saying a 60 minutes episode.
Exactly. I think it's still running.
My mom always tried to shield us so much because my father has bipolar disorder and he had to be committed a couple of times in the psychiatric ward. So she had to shelter so many. But I recently had this conversation with one of our artists, Pat Barrett, was talking to me about the greatest thing his dad ever gave him, passing on to him, was arguing in front of him with his mom. But they did it. And so I know, such a respectful way.
Like a healthy way.
Like a healthy way. And he said, he gave me the gift of seeing people resolve things in front of it. And it blew my mind. Wow. So I was like, okay. So I haven't broken my children because I didn't do it just like my mom did it. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom was very careful with all of us. And understandably, I understand why she was that way. But with my husband and I, we will openly sometimes get upset with one another. Mm-hmm. But then they will also hear, mommy wants to apologize right now because I did this. Mm-hmm. And I think living that testimony, like all the things they said there, I am really hoping that those have been something that they've seen in me, something physically that they see that my parents passed to me. And when my brother really met Jesus, like met the Lord, it was post his divorce. And it's not that I don't believe that his relationship wasn't sincere or authentic before. I just think it was just he engaged it. Like it was on and he wanted to get baptized, you know, and it was amazing to see that. But my brother before this, I don't know that he ever had a devotional time with the Lord. And my parents every morning, I know where Tim and Nancy reside are every morning. And it's sitting in the living room downstairs. And for all of the brokenness, for all of that, get shivers thinking about my parents. They were children's pastors. They poured it out when they were broken. They were pouring it out and they would pour it out to one another and bring in that Bible every morning. And I saw that as a child. And my brother now has that quiet time every morning. Mm. When I go there Christmas morning, I know he's not going to be out there because he's going to be back in his shelter, whatever, his man cave.
Sweetness.
Having that time with Jesus. And they know mommy is going to be at the table. They see me on those weekend mornings having some quiet time. And it doesn't have to be the morning. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip, but they see the quiet time modeled. Yeah. And it, you know, one day, if it doesn't strike today, just what's that sweet time with Jesus?
Yeah.
And did you get it?
Planting that seed. Did you
need it? Mm-hmm. That goes on. It's really, I think, my last question here. So first of all, let me just say, after hearing your stories, I think we all need therapy. I'm just saying, honestly, when you think about, we come with so much hurt and brokenness. My daughter, who's been through counseling for some real struggles that she had in her early teens and 20s, after going through counseling, said, "Mom, everybody should go to counseling. Everybody.
I love it.
Everybody, no matter what you think you don't need, should go to counseling." And to that point, I mean, we do all need sort of that to receive that wisdom. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't pay for everybody to go to counseling, but here's the thing. We have a counselor.
Yeah.
We have a counselor. He's been given to us and we don't have to go see him. He is in us. He is with us. Jesus said when he left, "I'm going to send you another to be with you, an advocate, a counselor, and he will remind you of everything. He will guide you into all truth." And so that really is my final question. I mean, we need a counselor. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, if our kids are left to us alone, oh God, help them. But we do have this opportunity to partner with God as a mom. There are so many ways you mentioned already that you're leaning into him as the husband you don't have and as the father figure that you need. But really all of us do that. So that's really my final question for you is what does it look like for you as a mom or what would you like it to look like, right? We're all evolving here as moms. We're learning from each other to lean into God as your partner in the role that he's called you to as a mom.
Yeah.
Kind of noodle that for a second.
Yeah.
I just know for myself, I've had, you know, I didn't really have the same walk with God that the three of these amazing ladies had. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't listen to Christian music.
I didn't either. Yeah. My parents aren't Christians.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, which I didn't know that. I didn't know that your parents.
No, she's a mess too. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I just want to set the record straight.
Yeah. Mine weren't. Yeah. Oh, I had. Yeah, I had an interesting too. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, they weren't. Start a low
no, but I love that. Yeah. To your point, who are you sitting at a table that you think you know stuff about them?
That's true.
You have made assumptions. And if you heard their story, really heard their story, you would go, oh gosh.
Yeah. So let's say, like, my parents weren't Christians, but my mom was more Jesus to people than I've seen a lot of church people be.
That's wow. Beautiful. Common grace. So yeah, no, keep going from there because I think it makes a great illustration point. Thank you for that opportunity to make that point.
So the very first day that the other woman knocked on my front door, my son was in kindergarten and I was holding my daughter. And it took like 7 years to leave after that. And literally, God showed up and said, okay, are you ready to walk with me now? Like, I've been trying to get your attention.
Wow.
Are you ready? And every single thing that I do, is all faith. I mean, it's all based on my relationship with Jesus. I mean, he is my husband. He is the co-parent that I have in my life. He's my provider. He's on the days when right now we're dealing with a lot of medical issues with my daughter and Morgan knows about it. And I feel like I have two lives. I wake up in the morning and I have this whole other life. And then I show up at the radio station and I have this whole other life. And every single second I'm saying, God, give me your strength. I need your strength. Mm-hmm. And I know the things that have happened in my life since my divorce and since coming to Christian radio, I couldn't do what I do without a relationship with him and without him being my everything.
Yeah. He didn't just redeem for salvation. He redeems the days. He redeems the circumstances.
Yeah.
He redeems the mistakes. He's just so gracious. I love that you were able to give him glory in that.
Yeah. And and even on the days when I'm like, I can't do this. I don't even know how I'm going to pay this or how I'm going to do this or what am I going to do now? Mm-hmm. He's like saying to me in my quiet time, when are you going to trust me? Mm-hmm. That's all I've asked you to do is trust me and let me do it.
I love that. He's parenting you as you're parenting them. And he's also helping you parent them. It's like this little vortex just came together and blew our minds.
Yeah.
Rochelle?
I think we put up walls with God and we didn't realize that you did it.
Mm. Yeah.
You put up these walls and put them in a box and the parameters and I had been doing it for years. I think it was actually, Kim, it was one of the things that you helped write about anger. I didn't realize I was an angry person until recently. Oh my gosh, I've been angry for a while.
That's good, Rochelle.
Yeah, and I was really grateful. And I realized I'd put up walls, some things that happened over time. And I'm not an extrovert. I know that's surprising to most people. I'm an introvert. But I'm very bold, so that makes it look different. But my favorite place is to go home, just a homebody. Mm. And so it's easier to do that than to make new friends. I know you're the exact opposite. We've had this conversation. You are an extrovert, Kim Weir, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I've put up these walls and everything started making things feel like I can't. And it's too much. My schedule, it's too much. And I feel like with the revelation of understanding that all of these things tie together up in anger too, somehow, I had put up these walls and I'm just starting to try to say yes. So if people say, can you? Yes, I can. Mm. Yes, I can. Mm. And it's almost like this breathtaking, I'm truly trying to listen to people now. When you're talking, I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to experience this empathy, trying to experience what must that be like for you? Because I know that's how God is. Mm-hmm. He can empathize with us on every level. Mm-hmm. And so everything can minister to you.
Yeah.
It can if you let it, meaning a moth that we saw in our backyard. The wind. Just, I mean, it sounds so ethereal and up here.
But what I hear you saying is that for you, partnering with God in life, learning to lean on Him in life is just going to trickle into who you are as a mom. I mean, for you, it's bigger than just how do I partner with God as a mom? Because you're learning to really partner with Him in life,
well, if you're
which is really step one.
A good you, you're not a good mom. Because that trickles down.
Oh, I love that. Rochelle, we put that on a bumper sticker. Yeah. Not a good you, you're not a good mom.
And also, I feel like Rochelle's saying you're at a point in your life where you're like, God, mold me, make me new. Yeah. Help me be the person that you know you want me to be.
Absolutely. When and what Kim was talking about, making sure you have an outlet because your children are not your outlet. You don't even realize you have those expectations. Like Raina was talking about, like my kids have hurt me more than anybody with the things that they've said. And when you're feeling that, it's like trying to release those things over. Say, wait, help me compartmentalize all of that. You know, like what are they really doing here? And I don't want to land these expectations in my children. It should always be with God because people will fail you. I mean, scripture tells you people will fail you. So yeah, you're right. It's like I'm leaning into Daddy God more now probably than ever because there is no other choice. There never was. And I was lying to myself when I thought there was.
Yeah, but the greater the responsibility. Momming has changed me more as a believer trusting God than any other experience in my life, even more than marriage. And that transition was hard. I thought, like, I'm sorry, you're not going to do everything I want you to do when I want you to do.
But that's Hollywood.
Where's the rule book on marriage? But with kids, you're like, this is it. They're going to do everything I want them to do. Somehow, I'm the theme of control. You know, and so they've been sandpaper that God has used. The intimate relationships are God's sandpaper that He is shaping me
into something. I think I have a new nickname for my kids.
Which grit are they? Today, you're just a 320 grit. Yesterday, you were an 80 grit.
That's great.
Wildly specific.
But I've been using sandpaper in my pottery. Okay, Raina, get us back on track.
So partnering with God for me on a practical level just is like talking to Him about everything in regards to my kids. Recently, my daughter was going through some stuff and I called up a girlfriend of mine and she's like, you need to lay into her and tell her this and this and that. And I was like, she does need a, you know, peace of my mind. And I go in there and I start having this conversation. It's going back and forth. And then I'm just like, quiet. Mm. And I'm just kind of like praying, you know, and she doesn't know I'm like praying internally, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit is like, be gentle, be gentle right now. And so that's what it is for me. This whole mom thing is just talking to Jesus constantly about what steps to take. And on another just human level, humbling myself and apologizing. We talked about that earlier. Yeah. When I do get it wrong, when I do mess up, is saying, hey, I didn't get it right there. And I'm sorry I reacted that way or I talked that way. So, yeah.
Wow. I love that idea of the constancy of the companionship because you don't know what your kids are going to do tomorrow. Like in any given moment, they could blow your world up or they could do something that has, you know, consequences that you can't quite see yet. So the stakes are actually really high. So to be in that constant, no pressure though.
That's why I never say my kids will never do that.
Yeah, never, never say.
Immediately
stick up. Yes. They'll say, girl, I got stories. So just the constancy of the breathing in and out. Lord, they said this. What do I say? How do I act? You know, just that leaning into His Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And also the value, I'm sure, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the value of His word, because then that comes in to that moment. I mean, you would hear Him say, a gentle answer turns away wrath, because you had read His word that says a gentle. So those things, God using His own spirit with His own word to meet you in the moment of a real situation. It's amazing. I love that. Morgan?
Well, you sort of asked a two-part question, which is how do you see God partnering with you or how would you like to see that? And I think for me, I struggle really badly with anxiety. High five for counseling. Yay. But it's, you know, I'm on medication for it, but I really have a hard time with extrapolating, right? So my son or my daughter, especially my son, because he's older, he'll do one little thing and I'll think, that's it. He's never gonna, you know, he's gonna be like homeless and he's not gonna have a job and he's not gonna be able to like be a productive member of society. And I'll like extrapolate into the future. all of the things that could go wrong. And I think for me, it's that hope that God helps me live in those moments, yeah. right? Like this is one minute of his life.
Yeah.
This is one situation mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. his life. This is not his entire future. You know, he's not going to, he's back talking to you, not his boss, and he's not going to get Amen. Fired. Like, cause I'm always like, so you know, if you back talk to me that way, then you talk to your boss that way, then your boss is going to fire you and you're going to have to move back into my house, you know? And what my hope is that God can help me live in those moments and see them as moments and not the whole future
yeah. mm-hmm.
because their futures are in his hands, not mine.
Yeah. Mm. Somebody told me once, and I remind myself that there's no such thing as what if. What if doesn't exist. Yeah. There's no what if because mm-hmm. it hasn't happened, and you're then trying to put circumstances in a box. And if you're going to play the game of future, then play the game of future blessing.
Yeah.
Play the game That's of good. If God is in control, this is what future will look like, and then pray into that future.
Love that idea has helped me a lot. And the other idea that has helped me a lot is I heard somebody say one time that you don't have enough information to panic about that. And I love the idea
That's
of that.
Good.
That's
you know, great.
Like, listen, he's 11. You don't have enough information about his future to start panicking about when he's 42.
Wow.
You know?
That's good.
There's so many times that when I
you should be writing this down.
Thankfully, it's recorded.
There's so many times when I'm around Morgan's kids, and I'm sure Raina and Rochelle can relate to this, and I'll go, wow, my son Drew was just her son's age.
Yeah.
It literally goes by in the blink of an eye. My son is about
you ever
to
find yourself jealous.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
what she says to me all the time, I miss it when they were little.
Yes,
and I'm like, are mine ever going to grow up?
And my son is finishing his freshman year of college this week. He's in finals, and I just think, wow, it's gone by so fast.
Nobody believes that. You have to experience it. No, we've all been told it, and nobody believes it. Well, I will just say that for me. I think the older my kids have gotten, the deeper my dependence on God has gotten.
Oh, yeah.
Because you start out and you're controlling when they eat, when they sleep, what they wear, what they do, who they meet, you know, when they get up, when they go to bed. I mean, necessity, you have to control it. It's part of your job description, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, no, stop now, which is hard. Yeah. But it is part of the evolving process, less and less control, more and more self-control on their part, more and more dependence on their part of God. But that whole time, it requires you to pull back in the right measure until you get where I am, where I have adult children. And the right measure is I don't get to tell anybody what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's so annoying. It's so annoying because I know the right answer. And here's the thing that you don't know yet, and I don't want you to know, but it is possible for your kids to get out of your house mm-hmm. and make decisions mm-hmm. that you fear for them
yes. mm-hmm.
or you fear for their spiritual health or their relationships. They make decisions that you know have factored God out.
Right.
And it becomes, it's not just their reality. And so I know we're talking to people that this is, it becomes your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do when you have no control? You talk to the one who does.
Exactly.
And here's a lesson I wish I would have learned way earlier. I never really had control.
Right.
And I wish I had been as dependent on prayer as I am now.
Amen.
That I can't do anything to change or alter or influence. I can't influence, but you know what I'm saying? And so I'd say for me, the partnering as a mom is this turning to the one who basically controls it all and who sees it. I don't know. You know, when you're a parent, there's a lot you don't know. Even if you think you're with them 24/7, there's a lot you still don't know. You don't know what they're thinking.
Right. Absolutely.
You don't know what they're feeling.
Absolutely.
You don't exactly know what they're doing when they're not with you. This is just not good information if you are a panicker. Right?
Well,
and so you trust the one who can.
Clock, too.
Right.
You only have 18 years to get him saved, and then it's over.
That's why I don't like that meme about how, like, you only have 18 summers. Listen, sometimes I need to send them to their grandparents for a week, and it's fine.
It's
like, well,
exactly.
Throw away from
the
me.
The same God that brought you home is
they
not
need to practice
able to
being
bring
away.
Them home? The kind of conditions we start throwing out there, we didn't realize that we were doing it and unintentionally. Like, I have some grander plan than God could for their lives, right? The same Jesus can bring them home just That's like right. he brought.
My dad yeah. came to faith at 55.
That's awesome. Wow.
And I think sometimes it's so good if we let our kids fail.
Let them.
Because if my parents would have rescued me and the mess of the life I had, I don't think I would know God. I found God at the most broken moment of my life, on my knees on the floor going, I don't want to live. And if I hadn't have experienced that, I don't think I would know God.
Yeah, that's really good. I recently talked with Helen Smallbone, Joel and Luke Smallbone's mom, and something that she shared with, because I asked her, I said, what do you tell people when you don't get the answers that you prayed for? And she first said, and she said over and over again, God is faithful, right? God is faithful. And maybe our expectations of how those answers are supposed to look should be the one subject to change.
Yeah.
And because we need to anticipate what God has ahead for our kids. And it was exactly what I wanted her to say for our radio program. It's so good. But it is really crazy how we have these things. If we rob our children of a struggle, we rob them of an opportunity to lean in further on God. Yeah.
My son and I just had this conversation. He's in his, oh, this is going to age me. He's in his 30s. This is where y'all go, oh no, you couldn't possibly have a kid.
That's right.
And then he was praying for something specific related to work and asked if I'd pray. And so yeah, I was praying, I asked some people to pray and he did not get the outcome that he wanted.
Yeah.
And so it was just such a great opportunity. Those are the moments as a mom with adults. I don't get to tell them what to do. I don't get to fix their boo-boos. I don't get to do any of those things that I was trained to do, you know, for 18 years. But in that moment, that's where you hear the whisper of God saying, lean in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a place to lean in and talk about how prayer changes us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change God. How God is helping us see his view and his will versus, you know, trying to finagle something out of God because I got more people to pray. And it was just such a sweet opportunity as an adult mom to a kid. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess maybe that's where we'll end. You know, we're never done being a mom.
Right.
And it's going to look different at every phase of life. But the thing that I've learned, and I think I've heard from you guys, is you don't want to be doing this alone. You don't want to be out there all alone in this. You want God as your partner the whole way, because there are things you don't expect. And he's such a sweet partner. He's such a loving partner and a patient partner and an all-present partner and a forgiving partner. And he wouldn't have given you these kids if it weren't for his glory. Mm-hmm. And that's what we can walk away with, is that if everything else in the world blows up, and no matter what our kids choose, God gave those kids to me, to you, for his glory.
Amen.
Because that's what he does. And that is worth trying to figure out how to mom alongside him the best we can. Thank you for coming and sharing your journey and your life and your struggles and your fears and your joys. I love that you've been honest and transparent. So I'll be calling you for my therapy session. I also hope that you will check out another resource that we have available for you, and that is my book, Everyday God. You know, leaning into Jesus means spending time with him every day. And it doesn't have to take an hour. Sometimes just having 5 or 10 minutes to lean in and hear something that God has that's relevant to your everyday life. And that's what the Everyday God devotional book is. 365-day journey where you find the hope and the help that you need in the daily presence of God. You can get that at Amazon.com. Again, it's called Everyday God, and the author is me, Kim Weir. So check that out. And of course, we'll have a link to that in our show notes below.
Don't miss out on more opportunities like this to rekindle your faith and find inspiration in the world's biggest small group's latest study. Text the word GROW, G-R-O-W, to 67101 to find out more.